it's time that it becomes a little bit disrupted, because at this point there's so many of us that there needs to be things like gender neutral bathrooms at conferences going forward. Like, we need to have they, them. We need to be able to put our pronouns on our name tags, stuff like that. Like, that's not happening yet, but I see it happening in the very near future.
Welcome to the Cosmic Keys podcast. This is going to be your episode for June 10th to the 16th, 2019. And I am so excited to share this episode with you guys. We've got a really fun interview coming up in a bit that's going to be with Shakira, the astrologer, with N-Flux magazine. But before we get to that interview, we got some cards and some astrology updates to go through. And if you remember from last week, we got the star card, and you can't get much better than the star card. So I'm a bit worried about this week, because there's pretty much nowhere to go but down at this point. So how did you feel about the star card this week?
Definitely had a star card week. You know, I was re-listening to last week's episode, and I was just going on and on about my stuff. And when I was listening back, I was like, God, your Leo annoyingness is starting to come out. But
the listeners were like, damn, Dan, just shut up and tell us what the astrology is.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not going to be doing that as much this week. But basically, you know, Monday I put out a music video and then announced that I'm doing this residency at Wonder Museum. So that was really exciting. And obviously the star, you know, it makes it, that Leo side of myself that likes to perform and likes to be on stage and likes attention in a weird way, that was coming through with the star. And this is kind of random and really corny, but when I was at my art studio doing a lot of work, I take my bathroom breaks outside because it's eco-friendly and the bathroom is in the main house, and that sometimes I don't want to walk there.
That's a little disgusting.
Hey, just being very transparent, and I am a dude.
Well, so I guess people can say our podcast is authentic.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a dude. I piss in the bushes. But anyways, every time I was doing that night after night in the same spot, there's this one star that was like aligned with my view every night, like between the houses, and it was very like noticeable. And I was like, damn, it's like I straight up made a wish upon a star this week
while you were pissing.
Yeah. But like night after night, I'm like, damn, it's that same really bright star. I should have like figured it out, which actual star planet it was, but I did make a wish upon a star. And other than that, just sort of, you know, feeling good and feeling spiritual and optimistic about this fun, creative stuff I have the opportunity to work on this month. But how about you?
Yeah, I'm feeling good about the star card. It's been a pretty busy week so far. So, I mean, that was kind of unexpected considering we did get the star card. I've been, like, swamped with stuff. But in general, I feel like my mood has been really uplifted, and that might also be just because we're in June, the weather's picking up, I'm finally able to wear some cute clothes and not wear sweaters every day. So I've been feeling kind of that good energy with the star card. In terms of wishes, I did not remember to wish upon a star this week. Perhaps I should have, but there's still time because we're recording this on Friday.
Yeah.
And we're about to do our forecast for next week, so starting Monday. So I still got a bit of time to make a couple wishes and see how that goes.
Totally.
So we got our deck here. I'll give it a couple shuffles and then we will see, you know, what is coming up ahead.
Yeah, and we're actually recording this on a Friday, which is Venus's last day in Taurus, which is lucky for me that I get to do my first day of this residency this afternoon, or I guess this evening at Wonder Museum. The painting that I'm planning is actually kind of witchy. It's a portrait, basically, of Hecate.
Yeah, she's like the witch goddess. She's badass.
but it looks very like Greco-Roman. You know, it looks like a Greco-Roman like female statue.
Okay.
But it's like the triple goddess look with all. She basically has six arms. It's like three women with their sort of in the triple goddess thing. So it looks really cool. It still has that like, you know, Greco-Roman statue look that looks very Greek. But like since it's Hecate, she's holding like torches and knives and stuff and ropes. So it looks pretty cool. I found a cool image online, and I'm making this like psychedelic version of that that's like hot pink.
Oh, I'm excited. So you're definitely gonna share that on our Instagram, right?
Oh yeah, totally. And gotta keep the Cosmic Keys vibe present throughout my life, you know. Even though most people don't know I'm an astrologer and occultist, that, you know, my art has little hidden things sometimes, because you gotta keep it real across the board.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so are we ready to see what card we get?
We are.
Hierophant. Oh my gosh. This is a shocker. We've gotten it before. I guess maybe it was like a month ago he showed up.
It was we had last week the Star, then we had the Fool, then we had the Lovers. Yeah, so it was like 4 weeks ago, so a month. Oh my
gosh. He's just showing up pretty regularly then. And again, another major. We've been hitting these majors so often. I think it's clear, you know, Spirit Above is telling us that this podcast is something special.
But if we were cheating, why would we repeat these cards so often? We're definitely... Sometimes I'm like, are you cheating? But we're definitely not. And
Dan watches me shuffle the cards every time, because he's just so like, how do we keep on getting these cards?
Yeah, like, it's crazy. We get no minors and we get repeats sometimes. But yeah. So the Hierophant, well, let's recap. What is the Hierophant all about?
So on the one hand, he can be looked at as a spiritual teacher. So that's kind of funny that you were just talking about painting Hecate, because you're going to be all with these like normies at the museum painting this super like witchy spiritual painting. So maybe that's going to give you personally the opportunity to be like, people are going to come up and be like, oh, what are you painting? And be like, oh, you know, let me tell you.
The chthonic goddess of the underworld.
So maybe you're going to be embracing that spiritual teacher component. And then for our listeners out there too, this is a good time to embrace the spiritual teacher aspect of yourself. So whether that's like making a fun Facebook post about, you know, a certain herb that you're interested in, or a certain god or goddess that you're learning about, or about tarot or astrology, kind of sharing that knowledge. Also, the Hierophant, it's got a lot of layers to it. So another layer to this card is about hierarchy and staying within the established system that's already in place. So you can kind of think of it, the Magician card's kind of opposite. The Magician is the entrepreneur, does its own thing, not afraid to break boundaries, think outside of the box. The Hierophant is all about, let's work within the system that we already have. So you can think of, you know, okay, well, this is a good time to, for a career perspective, to stay with your current job and work your way up the corporate ladder within that system instead of jumping ship and trying something completely new on your own. Or it can be other things than just, you know, a work environment. Basically, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are certain structures in our life that are working. Let's work within them. And that's what the Hierophant's saying in that regard.
Yeah, well, it's easy because we had this card a month ago, and I'm thinking back to what happened the last time we had this card. And for me, I remember, since it is a Taurus card, a lot of the Taurus folks in my life were like front and center, so maybe I should expect those people to be front and center once again. And B, I that week that we got that, I had changed offices within my company, and I remember you know, like doing the crossover paperwork and like thinking in terms of like this big company that I'm a part of, this institution. So maybe in my case, maybe it'll be related to my company again. And I think, you know, it's like big organizations. I was getting that vibe a lot, like structure and order in these big, solid organizations, which, you know, as much as I am sort of like a maverick and I hate institutions, sometimes it is nice to sort of like fit in as a puzzle piece of those bigger groups, you know?
Yeah, and that kind of ties in with the last component to the Hierophant card. It's also about like in-group and out-group. So we all have certain groups that we belong in, and within those groups there are certain established traditions and culture and things like that. And we all kind of need our tribe or our group. And the Hierophant, you know, card reminds us to consider that. Like, what groups are we in? Who is our community? And do we feel comfortable with that? Do we need to invest more time within that? Because we do need that. We are kind of creatures that desire deep connection within certain groups. Mm-hmm. As long as it doesn't get out of hand.
Yeah, totally.
So that is the Hierophant card in a nutshell. So I'm glad he showed up again.
Yeah, I could always use more structure in my chaotic life. And maybe I'll be like finishing up some deals with my company, and maybe I'll be working within that institution to get paid. Who knows? Yeah. So let's get into the astrology then. So this week we're looking at June 10th to June 16th, 2019, Monday. The first thing that we have is an aspect between the Sun in Gemini and Jupiter in Sagittarius. So the Sun and Jupiter are opposite each other right now. So when the Sun, which is like your ego, your identity, yourself, is opposite Jupiter, an opposition is a hard aspect, so it can cause a polarity between Jupiter, which is your optimism and your higher ideals and your expansive, big, glowing optimism. I keep repeating that. And the Sun, which is your ego and your self and your identity. It could manifest, you know, even if it's a hard aspect, Jupiter aspects can be lucky and beneficial and nice. So you might have like an inflated ego on Monday, which can be a bad thing. Keep your ego in check. You might just sort of feel your sense of self just expanding and growing and getting proportionately much larger. So be aware of that. Like on Monday, just think, is my sense of identity going overboard? Am I posting too many selfies? Am I thinking in these like really out of control terms about my own ego? Think about these things on Monday as Sun in Gemini opposes Jupiter in Sagittarius. And that's happening in the morning at 11:28 a.m. Monday. So in general, this week is building up to the ominous June 14th Flag Day on Friday, where we have this aspect happening with Mars. So Mars right now is in Cancer, not his favorite place to be. Mars is in its fall in Cancer because it's exalted in Capricorn. So when it's opposite of Capricorn, that qualifies as its fall. So Mars, which is the planet of aggression, ambition, drive, sexuality, it's your like lust for life, it's your drive for life. When Mars is in Cancer, a cardinal water sign ruled by the Moon, which is all about your emotions and your feelings, Mars, with its function being, you know, extroverted and assertive, when Mars is in this emotional feminine domain, it gets kind of confused and it maybe gets frustrated and temper tantrum like, or just overly emotional and slow, versus, you know, something like Mars in Aries where it's like charging down the battlefield. But what's happening on Friday, Mars early in the morning is going to be trining Neptune in Pisces. So when we talk about these watery vibes, these emotional vibes, these daydreamy vibes, that's going to be, you know, supercharged by Neptune. And that can give you related to the Hierophant, like a spiritual drive. It can give you a spiritual perspective to be active in your spiritual pursuits or even your creative pursuits, because Neptune, also being the daydream planet, is an inspiring planet for like ideas and visions and stuff like that. So Mars is going to be trining Neptune, but unfortunately Mars is also going to be opposite Saturn in Capricorn. So Saturn in Capricorn, Saturn being the planet of restriction, limitation, time, and everything, he is in Capricorn right near the South Node and right near Pluto. So we keep referencing that. There's these three planets, Saturn, South Node, and Pluto, hanging out in Capricorn, which is, you know, the cardinal earth sign symbolized by the goat. So it's all about hard work and achievement and steady, you know, climb to the top. So Saturn does well in Capricorn, Mars not so well in Cancer. When they're opposite each other, they're kind of at war. They're kind of like, there's this tension and polarity between them. So with your Mars being your drive and your ambition and everything, you might sort of get a harsh reality check on Friday with Mars opposite Saturn. And you have to think about this too. It's Mars opposite Saturn and the South Node and Pluto. It's just exactly opposite Saturn on Friday, but for the most part, for the most of the week, I'd say, you know, for most of the week, you're going to be feeling this buildup of tension building towards Friday. And into next week, next Wednesday, Mars will be totally opposite Pluto, another difficult aspect. So I don't mean to be a summer bummer speaker, but there are some summer bummers this summer. You might get that summertime sadness. Try to just take time to breathe and slow down. And Saturn is probably going to have the upper hand in this aspect. So if you do things that are Saturnian, which is like routine, hard work, slow, patient work, then you might be able to get through this more difficult aspect. And it's worth mentioning too that, you know, this aspect is happening in the polarity between Cancer and Capricorn, which is where the nodes of the moon are, which is, you know, the regions of the eclipses. So when we move into Cancer season on the 21st and then eventually get the new moon on July 2nd, that's going to be a solar eclipse. So we're going to be entering eclipse season in July. And eclipse season, if you remember back in January, we kept being like in January, like, this astrology is fucking nuts. Like, it's crazy. What's going on? But it's good, but it's crazy. So you got to plan for your summer. The month of July is going to be kind of gnarly, but gnarly can be constructive. It just breaks you down and, you know, humbles you. But then when you get through with it, you're like, wow, I really transformed. So I'm not trying to scare you guys, but, you know, leading up to Friday, this is going to be the harder weekend with this stuff happening. With Mars trining Neptune, you can add a little spirituality and imagination into the mix. With Mars opposite Saturn, it might be kind of hard. And then looking over until Sunday, our last day for this forecast,
which is Father's Day, it looks like.
Father's Day, yes. And Saturn has a very fatherly vibe sometimes. So we have Mercury opposite Saturn. So yeah, right now Mercury is also in Cancer. So Mercury, the planet of communication, is catching up to Mars. It's going to be conjunct Mars at the same degree in Cancer next Tuesday. So when Mercury is opposite Saturn, that in the same way that Mars opposite Saturn, you know, causes you to like your ambition and your drive and your will to be just like stopped in its tracks and sort of like solidified and sort of crunched, that same thing is going to happen with your communication. So if you feel that your thoughts and your words are all of a sudden just crunched and stopped or slowed down. That's that Mercury opposite Saturn aspect. That happens at 10 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning. And then we have Jupiter square Neptune, which we already experienced earlier this year when Jupiter was direct in Sagittarius. But now that Jupiter is retrograde, and since Neptune moves so slowly, it's basically in the same spot it was a few months ago. When Jupiter is making its way back, we're experiencing the same Jupiter square Neptune. So it's interesting also with the Hierophant, both Neptune and Jupiter are sort of spiritual planets. And this Jupiter square Neptune aspect is coloring the entire year of 2019. We already experienced it a couple months ago when Jupiter was direct. And now that it's retrograde, we're getting a revisit of it. So I'm trying to think, like, last time that happened, it was... Jupiter in Sagittarius is extremely positive, extremely lucky, and Neptune in Pisces is extremely spiritual and extremely visionary. So when these two planets square, just pay attention to the long-term story of your own spirituality, of your own sense of optimism and dreaming. Even though it's a hard aspect, it honestly might be a good day to do lots of affirmations, lots of visualization work, lots of tarot card drawing or ritual or whatever you do in your witchy life. But again, this will happen once again once Jupiter goes direct in a few months, and then it'll clear its way out and happen. So, yeah, we have... an interesting week. It's going to have that, you know, ego boosting expansive start on Monday with Sun opposite Jupiter, leading up to Friday, which is a little more tricky with Mars in opposition to Saturn trine and also trine Neptune. And then at the very end of the week, we have Mercury opposite Saturn and Jupiter trine Neptune, Jupiter square Neptune. So if we have the Hierophant as our card, I think, even though it isn't traditionally like a Saturn card, I think if you treat Saturn with respect and be patient, thorough, repetitive, and hardworking, as we move into this weekend, we can probably take the edge off of this more difficult transit. So,
yeah. So. It sounds like there's going to be quite a bit going on. And we're always curious to hear your opinions on how our predictions are doing. So be sure to send us DMs on Instagram and let us know how the Hierophant is impacting your week, how the astrology is going on in your life. And stay tuned because we have a really great interview coming up with Shakira of Enflux Magazine. So get ready to learn a whole lot more about astrology.
Today's episode of Cosmic Keys, we are very excited to be talking with Shakira Taborn of Enflux Magazine. Shakira is a professional astrologer, and we discovered her by following Enflux, which is a really aesthetically beautiful print publication all about astrology, spirituality, witchy stuff, and... It's funny, yeah, it's Enflux was one of the first pages we started following on Instagram right when we started back at the winter solstice of this year, and it's definitely on the rise. It's really popular and really inspiring to see other astrologers doing something different these days. So welcome to Cosmic Keys, Shakira. How are you doing today?
Hi, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm doing pretty well, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Yeah, we're enjoying the summer weather and everything like that. And we're super excited to have you on today and to talk about astrology, because we've had some tarot readers on recently. And so it's been good to get an astrologer on, get some different perspectives. And you seem like such a fun person to talk to, too. And I think you're around our age. So we're kind of that millennial set of astrologers and tarot readers working to change the world.
Yes, Pluto and Scorpio generation.
Absolutely.
Awesome. And we kind of like to start off our interviews asking about kind of your early life and if you were raised with any particular religion, and so kind of how you came about to this astrology world.
Yeah, so I was not raised religious per se. We were definitely raised to believe in God. We started out going to a Christian school when we were, by we, I mean my little sister and I. We went to Christian school in like kindergarten, pre-K. But my parents were both raised religious, Christian. However, they both kind of had issues with the church and were basically like, we're not going to church. We're not going to subject you guys to that because we hated it. So why should we do that to you guys? They were always really skeptical of organized religion, I would say, but were really spiritual. And, you know, they both believe in God, and we grew up saying grace and saying our prayers at night, but didn't have to go to church. But we did go to Christian school in our really early years. So I did have that kind of foundation to begin with. But yeah, in terms of like astrology and me getting into all of this, it's kind of random for me in terms of like the rest of my family. But my dad was always really into space. I always used to say things like, I'm not from here, like I'm from a planet far away. he had me memorize all the planets from the sun when I was like 8 years old. So I've always kind of had the vocabulary of the planets in my vocabulary from a really early age. And then I also, for some reason, was like always obsessed with birthdays, always knew everyone's birthday. And it was just something I took a lot of pride in as a kid, as like remembering people's birthdays. And I always knew the time I was born too. Like I remember asking my mom that at a very, very young age, and just knowing that that moment was special and not really knowing why I thought that, but I always, that was always something that was special to me. It was like, I came into this world on November 18th, 91 at 1:20 PM. And, yeah, I used to sign letters with my birth information.
Well, now that you've revealed your birthday, are you in your Saturn return right now?
No, I don't start until around next year. So, yeah, I think next April is when I have my Saturn at like 1 degree and some change Aquarius. So
nice, nice.
Almost there.
Very good. Well, so you stated that, you know, you were raised in kind of a semi-religious home, but not very dogmatic or not very official and everything. When did you first get like fully interested or educated on the basics of astrology, and when and where did your astrological journey begin?
So, it all started in 2012. When Saturn, I didn't know this at the time, but Saturn had entered Scorpio. And I basically, looking back on this time, I was going through like a ton of crazy transits. But it was Saturn's transit through my ninth house, Scorpio, that really cemented this for me. I had a friend, also a Scorpio. I was just at her house. It was like college. We were at her house kind of like hanging out, drinking, whatever. And she goes, guys, did you guys know that, you know, we're more than just Scorpios? Like, there's like a moon sign and a rising sign. I remember being jealous that she was telling me this and like that I didn't already know. Like, this is something that I should be telling people, not the other way around. And so she had some book, and I found out that I was a Pisces rising. And I just remember being really intrigued. And then a couple of days later, I went home for like a winter break, And I just remember being in the living room in my parents' house on my laptop and Googling birth chart and typing in my information on whatever site came up and seeing my chart for the first time. And I'll never forget that moment. It was like the universe was witnessing me. And I just remember freaking out. And I actually recently found a Facebook post. I posted my chart on Facebook, like as soon as I saw it for the first time. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm freaking out, guys. And I like looked at the chart for that moment. And of course it was like all this stuff is happening. The sun was on the galactic center and X, Y, and Z. I had a million things happening with my chart at that moment. But yeah, I saw it for the first time and I didn't sleep that night. I just stayed up and started my research. And I kind of describe it as like a re-downloading or re-remembering, because it really did feel like a subject that I had already known in my psyche or my being that I was just relearning. That's the only way I can really describe it. But it captured me from the very first moment I saw my birth chart, and I haven't turned away since.
It's kind of like that was almost like a catalyst moment then. Like you kind of probably all had this like deep down within, because you were mentioning that, you know, as a child, you were always like interested in birthdays, but it wasn't until that like official moment where everything just kind of like opened up for you and you found your life path.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like one of the most amazing moments, because I just felt seen. I felt witnessed by the universe. It was really beautiful.
I think of those years as, I'm talking about like 2012 in particular, which you mentioned. Mm-hmm. That was a time when Uranus was squaring Pluto, I believe. And
exactly.
I constantly, like for me, right around 2012, I had very similar experiences. You know, I was sort of into hermeticism and esoteric stuff, and it wasn't until I got an official reading with an astrologer that I had a very similar, like, holy shit, I know this. I already knew this, but now it's, you know, coming back to me. But those years in 2012, mm-hmm. when Uranus was squaring Pluto, I really feel like a lot of us Pluto and Scorpio generational people were like getting initiated in a way.
Exactly.
And the economy was crappy back then. There was the whole 2012 Mayan apocalypse like vibe. And it seems like a lot of people were like entering this like gauntlet of like, I'm going to have to do something really unconventional and weird with my life, but I can't wait to like just jump right in, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, Saturn going through Scorpio, really, it was tough for us millennials with Pluto and Scorpio, but at the same time, it like really awakened just that like soul urge to be understood and to discover the deeper mysteries of life. I really think it crystallized that for our generation. And then Jupiter came in and like exploded it all and was like, okay, now everyone's a witch.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I feel like that totally happened. And then I also feel like when Neptune entered Pisces, it's like really, that's like the long-term witchy thing too.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, that time with Pluto and Uranus was crazy. Yeah. Pluto was on my north node around the time that astrology came to me as well. So it was just the craziest time of my life, I think.
Yeah. My memories of that time are definitely like almost terrifying, but in retrospect, it was like, that was totally worth it. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you kind of find that your astrology practice fits in with a wider spiritual journey that you're on? Or is there kind of a spiritual component that you find within astrology? And kind of how does your view of astrology fit in with your understanding of kind of the wider universe?
Totally. Yeah, for me, it definitely coincided with my spiritual awakening, I guess you could say. I'm a Pisces rising, so at the same time Neptune was moving into my first house and crossing my ascendant, and you know, that's when I started smoking weed every day and like listening to the Beatles, you know, had my first trip on LSD, like all of these things kind of happened at once. But yeah, it's, for me, again, it goes back to being witnessed and being witnessed by the universe and seeing my chart. It really made me realize that we're all here for a reason. And like each and every one of us has this birth chart and this like tool, this map or blueprint or whatever you want to call it, that's special and specific to us. And to me, that was just like so beautiful to know that, yeah, we all do have a purpose here and that we're here for a reason and that we're the way we are for a reason. And you can see it through this map. Yeah, I guess that's how I would say it. And just that the planets, the whole as above, so below really, really resonated with me. Like, this is what was happening at the moment that I came onto this earth. And, you know, I'm a walking, living embodiment of that moment in time. I don't know. That's super spiritual to me. So yeah, I think through my like teenage years and denouncing and rejecting religion, astrology really brought me back to my spirituality and really brought me back to knowing that we're connected, we're all here for a reason, and you know, all the other spiritual mumbo jumbo that I totally believe in.
Yeah, I find that's kind of a common path among, you know, millennials or the Pluto and Scorpio generation, where a lot of us like rejected mainstream religion as a teenager. And then kind of we come back to this idea of spirituality and kind of develop our own beliefs and our own system that's kind of perhaps outside the norm. You know, we hear that a lot. I had definitely a kind of similar story where I just like rejected kind of all religious teachings and things like that. But then I got into like all that witchy stuff and stuff like that when I was a teenager. And tarot at the same time. So I kind of discovered my spirituality through this alternative system in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Kate Pacha speak a couple of years ago during the Great Solar Eclipse Festival in Oregon. And he said something about Pluto and Scorpio generation being the sorcerers and the witches of the past reincarnated. And that resonated so deeply to me because I'm like, yes, that's what we are. No wonder we rejected mainstream religion. Because, you know, we have these, we're magical, and we came back here for a reason to like re-enchant the world and help heal the world as well.
You know, that's really interesting. That's so neat that he said like, okay, we're the reincarnated like sorcerers or witches or magicians of the world. And you can even take that from a wider perspective and not even just like the magical spiritual community, but thinking about just what's happening in the world in general with like technology. Like, I kind of find technology and the internet, like that is a crazy magical thing, you know, and it's negative for a lot of reasons and positive for some others, but it is almost like this generation ushered in this time where everything is somehow more magical or ethereal, less grounded in reality, because so much exists within this internet space now.
Totally.
Yeah, and just, we love talking about Pluto and Scorpio generation, and when I now that I'm starting to notice the Pluto and Sag generation more. At first, being, you know, an asshole, I was like, oh, they just don't get it, blah, blah, blah. But I'm really starting to see them shine in a way. And it makes sense to me that we have this scorpionic, like, dark side because we have seen so much transition in the world. Like, we literally remember the 90s. And before all of this technology and sort of like clash of civilization stuff started happening, but the Pluto and Sag kids are like, they were just, they like woke up, or they were born sort of ready to just like shoot for the stars in a way. And there's definitely a contrast between them, and I'm enjoying seeing their sort of like bubbly perspective that is used to this technology and stuff. And I'm fine, you know, with our identities as the dark ones or the witchy ones too. So.
Yeah, I have a little bit of an obsession around Pluto and Sag generation. I'm actually hoping to do like a longer term research on that generation and the sub generations, because I'm just a little bit obsessed with generations in astrology. I'm actually going to do a little lecture on it at the, what is it called? Oh, I'm blanking. Astrology University has this upcoming lecture series, New Voices in Astrology or something like that. I feel terrible for forgetting what it's called. But anyway, the Pluto and Sag generation is really fascinating to me, or Gen Z, whatever you want to call them, and how they, especially being on, I just got on Twitter last August, and it's now like my favorite social media site, but seeing how Gen Z operates on that platform is so interesting to me, and how they really just, they really want to be heard, and they're so passionate, and they have, they don't really think too much about the facts or the details so much of what they're saying, but they have so much gusto and passion behind anything that they're speaking about. That's really inspiring to me. And yeah, I just can't wait to continue to do some, I'm like hoping to create like a survey or something that I can widely pass around, try to get more information on them and start doing some more chart readings on those, I almost said those kids, but they're not that young. Some of them are, I guess. But yeah, what you were saying about Pluto and Scorpio, remembering the 90s, but also being here for the transition, really made me think about the Uranus Capricorn part of our little generation, our sub-generation, I guess, and how we really hold those, we still have those traditional ideals, and we know about the past. Like we were here for that pre-internet age, and we were also here for the transition, and just what our little generation is going to do with that as we continue to age and go through our Saturn returns. And it's all really fascinating to me. So I hope to like continue to research and be able to speak more on that in the future.
Yeah, Scarlett and I are close in age. I have Saturn and Uranus in Sag and Neptune in Capricorn. But like you were saying, there are like sub-generations. And I feel like the people that have Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus all in Capricorn really sort of stand out as being distinct. It's great when you get to use these outer planetary eras to sort of categorize like types of generations and everything. It sounds really interesting that you're going to be speaking on Pluto and Sag too, because that's like we're really into these topics ourselves.
And you do astrology readings for clients, right, too?
Yes, I do.
So how is that going? Do you find that certain types of people or certain ages are more interested in getting their chart done?
Well, I just reopened my books this past April to take clients again. However, I was doing a ton of readings last year in person at events. So I was doing primarily mini readings, meaning like I had people of all ages, like, you know, in their 70s and 80s to like, you know, 19-year-olds. And right now I find that I primarily read for Pluto and Scorpio generation. However, I interact with a lot of Gen Z, Pluto and Sag on Twitter as well. I do these like little mini readings on Twitter for people, whatever zodiac season it is. So yesterday I was doing readings for Geminis, basically just like year ahead readings, like one tweet your head readings for people who were born in the zodiac season. But yeah, I don't know. I find a lot of people around my age, and especially ones going through their Saturn return, I get a lot of Saturn return people. And I think it's because I've been paying so close attention to that since I started learning astrology. And I have a lot of friends who are a little bit older than me, so I've watched a lot of people go through their Saturn return and come out the other side. My boyfriend is currently in his, so I'm living with someone going through their Saturn return. And although I haven't been through it yet myself, I've been able, I think, to offer some good advice or guidance to people going through it, just because I've seen it happen to so many people so close to me.
I was wondering too, have you drawn any conclusions about this current, like, Saturn and Capricorn? I don't want to say generation, but by doing readings with people that are in their Saturn returns now, have you learned anything new or interesting about this Saturn and Capricorn cycle?
Yeah, well, I really do like to look at the differences between the little the Saturn sub-generations. And I found that with Saturn and Scorpio, it was a lot about loss and reckoning with people that went through their Saturn return during Saturn and Scorpio. It was a lot of loss and a lot of both, you know, physical loss and then like betrayal as well. And just moving through that threshold with Saturn and Sag, it was about how to create a life that enables you to have as much freedom and enables you to continue to grow and learn and explore as much as possible while still, you know, having to grow up. Because I found that to be a really common theme with Saturn and Sag, like, how can I create a life that enables me to have freedom? And with Saturn and Capricorn, it seems that there's this huge responsibility towards creating something that lasts, or something, creating a legacy or something that they'll be remembered by, and just basically to like not die being a nobody. That seems to be a really common theme. Like, how do I create something that I'll be remembered by? But it's not really an ego thing. It's more of like a responsibility to fulfill a purpose, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's brilliant. What you said about Saturn and Sag totally applies to Scarlett and I, because the two of us met when we were both in our Saturn returns, and I've Saturn in the second house, and like what you said, you want to like chase dreams and not grow up and stuff. And basically, I had sort of a regular 9-to-5 job, then I started driving Lyft and Uber and doing artistic stuff and learning more about, you know, occult stuff. And that period of, I mean, I was undoubtedly like put through the ringer, but it really set the foundation to like where I am now, like with a podcast. Never would have thought I would have a podcast before the Saturn return and everything. But because it sounds like you have a lot of knowledge about like working with so many clients that are millennials and stuff. I always like picking astrologers' brains about like these nitty gritty details.
I love it.
Yeah, and it's similar for me too, where like when I was going through my Saturn return is when I kind of left my corporate job and started my own tarot business. So I think it's accurate that at least among our generation, we are not satisfied with necessarily just a job that pays the bills. Like, there's a deep yearning for something that does provide more meaning. And with those younger than us, and you were talking about the people that are concerned about legacy, I feel like maybe in part that's due to like there's so much pressure now put on like younger people like Gen Z that like mm-hmm. it's not enough for them to just like get a job, get married and have kids. Like, they have to save the world, they have to fix climate change, they have to do so much. They're probably under, you know, extreme stress and feel that like, you know, they have to be big. They have to be the top of their game. They have to solve all these huge unsolvable problems, or hopefully they're solvable. But yeah, it's a lot on their shoulders.
I find that to be especially true, which it sounds weird, but with the Pluto and Capricorn generation that are, you know, still being born, I have some friends or coworkers who have kids, and especially the Capricorn kids that have Pluto and Capricorn, they are the most serious children I've ever met in my life. Like they're like, they care about climate change. They care about the animals. They're so serious, and they seem to have like incarnated with this knowing that the world is in peril, and that like their lives are almost dedicated towards doing something about it. And I found that to be like really potent, kind of scary. So like these kids need to be kids as well. It's a really interesting time to be in right now and to witness all of this happening.
I know exactly what you're talking about with the Pluto and Capricorn kids. Like, I find it so humorous and entertaining, though. Like, they are like, they're like mini adults, like sipping on coffee. Like, their juice box is like a coffee yes. cup, and they're just like, they're like more serious than their parents, and they're like, they have this like dry humor, and I love it, to be honest. I'm like, dude, these kids are cool. Like, who the hell taught them to be like this? But they just are this way. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe if, like, we were the reincarnated, like, sorcerers and witches, maybe they're, like, the reincarnated scientists that are going to get shit done. Because or, like, this is our last chance.
Like CEOs.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely have that go-getter mindset.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, my boss has a Capricorn kid, and things that she says about him are just hilarious. Like as a 7-year-old, he's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to grad school, because I really want to go to the NBA. I want to play basketball in the NBA too. But if that doesn't work out, I guess I'll go to grad school. It's like, how are you thinking about this at 7 years old?
Yeah, I love it. And I notice it too. Like they're still being born too, but these kids these days are just, it's, I find it impressive that they just have this natural stable point of view and this like dry humor and this like seriousness, but it's like cute in a weird way, but it's like, you don't seem like you're acting like a kid. You seem like more mature than me, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they say that Capricorns, they age backwards, so hopefully I don't know, we'll see what happens when they start to go through their Saturn returns. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd love to ask you more about your magazine. So can you tell us a bit about the origin of Enflux?
Sure, yeah. So where to even begin? I guess I went to this conference last May 2018, right after Uranus entered Taurus for the first time, and it was called Who Heals the Healer, and started by this woman, Veronica Agard. I interviewed her for the second issue of the magazine, so we talk about it a little bit in there, but I just got really inspired by that community in Brooklyn in particular, of healers and especially people of color who cared so much about what they were doing, but also about how we can help ourselves. And yeah, just, I was really inspired by the community, and I started forming a community myself here in Brooklyn. I'm on Staten Island now, but I was living in Brooklyn for the past 8 years. So meeting more and more healers and witches and brujas of color, and just feeling really held, and I had a sense of community. That was also Saturn going through my 11th house, which made me like solidify all these groups. But that's kind of where it started, me being like, I really want to, like, what can I do for this community? And there was a zine by this group called Rest for Resistance at that conference, and I bought it, and it was just like, you know, a regular zine. There was short stories and poems and articles and images, but I couldn't get that out of my head, like this physical thing. And then to rewind, I've always kind of been obsessed with magazines. Like, as a kid, I was all about magazines. I used to collect them and just keep them. I had a ton. And I interned at a bunch of magazines in college. I went to art school. I studied photography. And so, yeah, I've always kind of been into this, you know, the print format. And I had the idea to do an astrology zine for a while, like just, you know, pictures and this is what Aries is like, this is what Taurus is like really basic stuff. But once I started to really think about what I wanted it to be, it became something much bigger. And at some point last summer, I talked to my friend Sade, who I met on the subway. We had followed each other on Instagram randomly, and then she saw me on the subway one day and was like, I think we follow each other on Instagram. And I was like, oh my gosh, hi. And then we just became instant friends. And we both have singer names, so there's that too. But she, I told her, I was like, I really want to do this zine or the magazine or whatever. Like, would you, you know, you want to do it together? And she's an incredible designer. She has, yeah, I could talk about her chart forever, but I always, whenever people compliment me on the design of the magazine, I'm like, it's all my designer. She's a Libra rising, Libra moon. She has a packed fifth house. She's a Pisces. Like, she, it's all her. I don't do any of it. But yeah, she was down. And then we just, I found like two other friends who are into astrology and that might be down to help out. And I just kind of made it happen. yeah, we launched our first issue on my mom's birthday in December. And the chart is very similar to my birth chart. And so I feel very, very connected to it. But it's quarterly. And it's basically meant to be a guide for the season or the quarter of the year. It has horoscopes for the quarter. It has a lunation station, which is like a guide to each of the moons of that quarter. So it's basically meant, it's like a little chart, and it's basically meant to help you pinpoint like keywords that are associated with that moon for you, your chart. So you would look at your rising sign, and then say you're like a Pisces rising, like I am. You look to Pisces, okay, this is happening in my third house. These are the keywords. These are kind of words that I can use to set intentions or, you know, do whatever with. So we have that. We have a calendar, like a little astro calendar for the 4 months in that season. And then we do interviews. And then we also started this embodiment section. So for each of the three zodiac signs within that season, we kind of do like a little embodiment. For Aries, for example, we photographed a yoga teacher doing a sun salutation sequence. And the idea around that was like, you know, the sun is exalted in Aries and you want to move into your body, kind of welcome the return of the sun for the spring equinox. So yeah, I was talking a lot, but the magazine, it's my baby. It's like a labor of love. It has a Capricorn moon. So it's a lot of hard work, but it's totally worth it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's awesome that you and the co-creator of it met on a subway, because I feel like New York, I've only really properly visited there once, and it is a place where you just run into people that you know. Like, I was running into people from college on the street, and it seems like that city has that magic going on. We wanted to ask you too, like, in relation to Enflux, is there like a, it sounds like there's like a solid community of witchy people, astrologers, etc. Could you elaborate just what the scene is like in New York or Brooklyn or whatever? Because we're kind of jealous. Like, we kind of do everything remotely, and it sounds like having that face-to-face interaction with people in your community can, you know, get the wheels turning on projects like this.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's like, it's amazing. It's the reason I didn't move to LA when I had the opportunity last spring, because I was like, no, there's this community here, and I'm just now tapping into it, and I can't leave. I think it partly centers around there being so many like physical spaces to gather in Brooklyn in particular. There's, I mean, like for me, it all started with this yoga studio that I was going to, Daya Yoga, close to my old apartments that I've lived in my old neighborhood of Bushwick. But being able to meet people who share similar interests. There's that, and then there's a lot of places that hold workshops that do yoga and community Reiki and acupuncture, and there's cafes that, you know, hold meditations. There's a ton of different places in that borough, in Manhattan as well, and in the Bronx, et cetera. But for me, I've been in Brooklyn since 2011. So yeah, it's really awesome, to be honest. There's a lot of low cost ways to get together with people. And part of like Saturn going through Capricorn, my 11th house for me has been to like solidify groups. So I started my own like monthly meetup called Deep Seekers that just meets basically every month, and we just talk astrology. I like pick a topic and I print out everyone's charts and lecture a little bit, and then we like go into however the current astro weather is affecting us in each of our charts and just kind of talk and answer questions and stuff. So that's my own little personal thing, but there's so many different opportunities for people to gather in person that I think that's why the community in New York is so strong.
Yeah, I wish we had a bigger community here in Chicago. I feel like we do have certain like cafes and meetups and stuff like that, but it seems like it's kind of the same type of people and skews a little bit older. But it's great to hear that in Brooklyn and New York that there is so much more of a vibrant community. And I'd like to ask you too, do you feel like the astrology community like as a whole is becoming more open and inclusive when it comes to like queer and minority perspectives, or do you think that's like just happening in New York?
I totally think it's happening as a whole. I think it's because by we I mean millennials and Gen Z won't take no for an answer. I think we're infiltrating, even though it's a little bit harsh maybe, but I really do feel that way. It's like it's time, you know? And I think that a lot of the older generations are excited about it, and they're just stoked to see that some of them are passionate about these subjects, but also I think that they are aware that change is happening, and that, I don't know, maybe this is just my Uranus talking, but it's time that it becomes a little bit disrupted, because at this point there's so many of us that there needs to be things like gender neutral bathrooms at conferences going forward. Like we need to be able to put our pronouns on our name tag, stuff like that. Like that's not happening yet, but I see it happening in the very near future, because I don't know, I'm thinking about NORWAC in particular, this conference that I just attended a couple weeks ago, and how there were so many young people and so many new people there. It sold out for the first time ever, and that we kind of came in, had an incredible time, but we came in and kind of scoped out what's already happening. And I think at this point now we know how it is, and we know how we want to change things for the better, of course.
Yeah, one of the things, I'm coming from like the tarot perspective and the tarot community, it seems like every other week there is like a new really fun like tarot deck that embraces like a feminist perspective or like different types of perspectives and ideas. So yeah, I think it is probably part of this like wider trend that's going on and in making these kind of areas more inclusive. I know a lot of the more like old school astrologers, they tend to be like men, I think. Right? Is that right, Dan? Would you say that they're I feel like most of the older astrologers I've met.
I think, like, my perspective on it is the baby boomer generation, like Pluto and Leo, really brought astrology forward. And they, this is coming from me being a very Leo person myself, but they have a stubbornness and sort of like a, I don't know, they, you know, they, the old books with astrology in it would, you know, automatically be like, addressing the person like, well, your wife or your girlfriend, if it's a man, you know, assuming that they're going to be heterosexual and stuff. There's like all these assumptions in the old school way of astrology. But now, granted, the actual market of people who are interested in it, a lot of them don't fit into those categories. And you, I feel like today the language is evolving, like, yeah, there's still masculine and feminine, you know, adjectives that you could use, but it's not like it. It's very. It seems like it's expanding to like have totally more nuance and options in the way that you read a chart or address a client, because the clientele probably, you know, maybe not probably, but a lot of the clientele is, you know, has different ways of describing and categorizing themselves, I guess. So
yeah, I mean, I think that we're just demanding it, like, we, this, it has to happen. We have to have newer perspectives and different ways of yeah, we need to expand our language. And yeah,
you know, it's an interesting thing too when you're talking about language, because I face this issue sometimes with tarot is just kind of like with the planets. Like when we talk about Venus, we call like her, like she, like she's doing this, or like Mars is always like he's doing that. And then with tarot, it's often divided in between, like, you know, you have your magician masculine, your high priestess feminine, you have your two masculine suits, your two feminine suits. So even within tarot, like how we use language to describe the elements and, you know, the different characters in the major arcana and these archetypes, maybe that is something that's going to change and evolve, you know, over time as well. We'll just kind of see how things shape up. But I find that interesting because there is so much gendered language in the way that, you know, we do tarot, or that, you know, you might do an astrology reading.
Totally. Yeah, I've started, at least in the magazine and in my own writings, started referring to Mercury with they, them pronouns. And we actually have a whole article in the new issue that goes into that. Dr. Alan LaDuca, that explains why we should refer to them with they, them pronouns. So it's hard because, you know, most of us do write about Venus using she, her pronouns, and the moon using she, her pronouns, or Mars, or, you know, even Saturn. People are talking about Saturn as being more of like a yin maternal figure, as opposed to this like masculine patriarchal figure as well. So it's really exciting to see the language evolving.
Yeah, Saturn is interesting. I mean, Saturn is very feminine in the way, even when it, from a Kabbalistic perspective, you know, Binah is like the ultimate, like, core feminine Sephiroth, basically, and that is associated with Saturn. Yeah, I think with tarot or astrology, you know, I still think you could describe anything as masculine or feminine, but the people that it applies to, it's everybody. You know, like if you have he, him pronouns, you can have a very Venus experience, you know, a very feminine day, and that could apply to like the Queen of Cups or the Queens in the tarot or everything. So, I don't know.
Totally.
It's just like, yeah, on a daily basis, gender roles just ain't the same as they used to be, period. Like, it's not, people just know that inherently by the way that we function these days. So, you know, the language evolves with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with tarot totally. Too, it's like kind of like a lot of tarot is about finding balance within those like masculine and feminine aspects of self. And it's interesting you were talking about like Mercury specifically being like a they them, because you have like in tarot you have the Temperance card, which is this very like androgynous, non-gendered figure. So there's some kind of interesting similarities there. Mercury is definitely very involved in several different cards in tarot, but it's a big presence, you know, with the cards and with astrology. So,
and the World card too. I mean, it seems feminine in mm-hmm. sort of the Rider-Waite depiction, but in the older decks, it was kind of androgynous, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is like the final card. It's like the final, the end is like. You know, gender neutral is sort of the way that tarot deck ends in a way.
Well, it's kind of like the culmination of you finally have merged the qualities of the High Priestess with the qualities of the Magician. They finally like come together, and that's when you ascend to the higher level. So you kind of have to have the skill set built with both those Magician and the High Priestess qualities. So yeah, I mean, it's just really fascinating in thinking about how we use these terms and these language and kind of describing these archetypes and these ideas and how they are evolving and changing with time, because that's what makes astrology and tarot so fun, is it is this evolving practice. It's not ever going to be static. Like, we're always going to be interpreting it and interacting with it in new, unique ways based on our own perspectives and our own lives. So yeah, you mentioned Norwalk a little bit too, and so that was a conference that you went to recently, right?
Yeah, that was over Memorial Day weekend, so like I guess just 2 weeks ago.
Do you have any favorite events that you would recommend? Because Dan and I, like we mentioned, we spend a lot of time online and not getting out there much, and I'm sure we would definitely like to attend some more conferences in the upcoming year, and I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about some different events that they might be interested in going to. Would you recommend Norwalk, or do you have like a favorite other event that you would recommend people think about attending?
Yeah, so Norwalk was the first conference that I had gone to, and I would highly recommend it. It was nothing short of amazing to be able to meet all of like my astro heroes in person and to like talk to them and yeah, like have genuine conversations with them. And then two is just to meet other people who are just as passionate about astrology with, and that you can speak your language with. And I think that's a big part of it, is speaking your language and feeling so feeling like you're a part of something bigger than yourself when you're in this group of like 500 other astrologers who, you know, you can just walk up to them and what's your top three or what's your SMR? I like to say SMR. or just start talking to them about whatever transit, and then not having to have that disconnect. That language barrier is such a beautiful thing. And then also just to learn about or to be immersed into different branches of astrology. For instance, I started out with like a modern psychological education and then got really into evolutionary astrology for a bit before I went to traditional Hellenistic. And that being at Norwalk, I was rooming with, I got an Airbnb with a couple astrologers because we all wanted to like cook our own food and stuff. But I was staying with two evolutionary astrologers, Sabrina Monarch and Cameron Allen. And it was so amazing to just kind of be in that world again and to talk about the nodes and even the planetary nodes and Pluto in this way that I haven't in a long time, since being so steeped into traditional and Hellenistic astrology, and just seeing how all these different worlds can connect. And all the lectures just were so good. I'm probably going to buy like most of the audio recordings because they were all so amazing. Sitting next to Lynn Bell during a lecture and having her like comment on my Scorpio necklace was really cool. Stuff like that. It's like there's nothing like it. And NORAC in particular is a family run conference, and so it really does have this feeling of family and just kind of like a family reunion. And then seeing all my Twitter friends in real life and like hanging out and smoking weed and talking till like 5 a.m. with all these people was like amazing. So I would highly recommend NORAC. It's in Seattle. It's every year, Memorial Day weekend. There's another conference this year in Baltimore. I believe it's in September, and that's the NGRC conference. And I'm not going to that one, but I know a lot of people will be there. And then next year, there's NORAC again, and then there's an ISAR conference in September in Denver, which I'm sure I'll be at as well. But yeah, there's local conferences like all over the country and all over the world. There's like intensives. I know George is holding like a little intensive retreat in Bend, Oregon in September. And I know that because I have the tab open right now on my computer because I'm looking into it because it just seems so amazing. Yeah, I would just encourage people to, one, get on Twitter because I think that's where most of the astrological community gathers and talks. Like, I never would have guessed I would be like tweeting some of my like astro idols and like have them respond to me and just like kind of get to know them through Twitter. Never would have thought, but Twitter is really amazing for that, and the community is really strong there. And then meeting everyone in person and like, you know, next year, this year, whatever, I think it's like extremely important to be able to gather in person. And Austin Coffey talked about that a couple of times with Uranus and Taurus and being with people, groups forming in a physical context and how important that is. And I have to agree.
Yeah, I've been listening to the astrology podcast for a few years now, and they are always they make conferences sound really magical. So it's great to hear your perspective too, and that, you know, there's this like party, smoking weed, staying up late element to it also. but yeah, that's awesome.
I think the smoking weed thing is new. I think it's new because that's like the Gen Z. The millennials are now here, so of course we're going to be doing that. But the staying up late part is definitely not new. I know, like, I ran into Austin Coffey at like 2 a.m. one night and had him sign one of my books. So yeah, people definitely stay up at the bar very late.
Nice. And that's awesome too. You got me thinking again on evolutionary astrology, and because, you know, I totally agree. Like, I sort of have a tendency to go really Hellenistic these days, but evolutionary, my first astrologer was a pretty heavy evolutionary astrologer. And when you talk about things in terms of like reincarnation and the outer planets and the nodes and stuff, it just lights up enthusiasm, and it's so interesting. But to have these different traditions sort of intersect at the conferences sounds like would be an amazing experience.
It really is, truly.
Well, we're getting towards the end here, Shakira. We could easily talk to you for a few more hours and pick your brain some more, but for our listeners, where can they find you and how can they get in contact with you or find Enflux?
Sure. So my personal practice, I go by The Astrology, which is THE and astrology, like astrology without the A. And my website is theastrology.com. I'm on Instagram and Twitter as The Astrology. And yeah, that's where you can find me or book a reading or whatever. As far as Influx, we are on Instagram as Influx Mag. So that's NFLUXMAG. And then our website is influxmag.com, and you can pre-order our newest issue, issue 3, Summer Solstice, and those start shipping out next week. And if you're in New York, we're having 2 launch parties, and I'm really excited about them. The one is on Thursday, June 20th at No Bar NYC, and then the second one is at Meta Den on June 22nd, and that's a space that's POC only, run by POCs for POC by POC, and that's run by a couple that we interviewed in our first issue. So I'm really excited for both of those. But yeah, you can find us, you can order online, and shipping out next week. And there, we also have it available in digital as well. So you can, for like half the price, just download it directly onto your computer.
Awesome. Well, it was so wonderful talking to you today. And for our listeners, definitely check out Shakira's Instagram, check out Influx Magazine, and get yourself a copy. And yeah, it was so wonderful. We're so happy to have you on, and it was, I think it was a pretty fun discussion.
Yes, I could talk astrology forever. So thanks for cutting me off, but it was really, really fun. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thanks, Shakira. All right, guys, thanks for making it all the way to the end of our show today. We had a great time chatting with Shakira Taborn, astrologer from Influx Magazine. So other than that, make sure to follow us on social media. We give little astro updates throughout the week on our Instagram, which is at cosmic_keys_podcast. We're going to try to use Twitter.
She was talking about Twitter and how it's like the place to be.
For astrology, it absolutely is. I do want to get better at it, but
it's so hard. I don't like Twitter.
I get scared by Twitter. But no, for real though, like astrology is all on Twitter. So follow us on Twitter and bring us into this fun game. We're at CosmicKeys777 on Twitter. And other than that, we really appreciate if you guys do listen every week and you do like the show. Just take, you know, a minute out of your day and write us a review on iTunes, because it will totally help us in the charts.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So yeah, until next week, have a wonderful week. And stay structured with your Hierophant vibes right now. And stay determined and patient if the week gets a little difficult towards the end. Fear not, though. You can do this.
You got this.
All right, guys. Take care.